you were studied in depth by Harvard University.
Exactly.
Tell me about that.
In 1983, some of the professors from the business school contacted us because at that time we were, I think, 15 years together or something like mm-hmm. that. And that was quite a record with the same personnel. That's a lot of groups stay together for years, but they have switches in personnel, and we had stayed the same. And the business school thought that was quite something because we were a team. And they wanted to study how a small team works and stays together. And they were comparing us to a surgical team, small surgical team, and how they work. And so it was really an eye-opener for us, you know, because we had taken a lot of things for granted about how we make decisions and how we balance what we do musically as well as in terms of our decisions every day in life. That's how it started. And we went down to Harvard and we played concerts there at the business school. They have a wonderful little atrium chapel. And we played there almost every year for quite a few years. But they also then videoed us and interviewed us individually and as a group. And then we had a concert where they showed what we did. And that video has been around. It's traveled to business schools from California, Pomona, for instance, and LaSalle and in Pennsylvania.
LaSalle
all these,
and Bucknell,
yeah, all these professors who are graduates of the Harvard Business School mm-hmm. who knew us back then are using this as a teaching tool.
And it has been updated since then by other professors out in California. So they have kept up at how things changed. But they were interested in the way we organized because we came to each other not by – a lot of quartets are formed for friends in college get together and they all love each other and they want to start a quartet.
Right.
And those things last about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and they study with the same people, you see.
Same people, and they have the same background and or maybe they've entered a competition. But we came from four different compass points, really, and educationally, different schools and different backgrounds. And we had to come together and create a Portland string quartet sound and an interpretation. Everything we did had to be, you know, hammered out. And so they wanted to know how we went about that as opposed to a surgical team where the head surgeon says hop and you say how high and, you know, everyone is in line behind him. There's a hierarchy. The string quartet was everyone had a voice. Everyone gets a say.
An
equal voice. And in the end, you vote. And if you trust your colleagues, you feel like even if you lose, you can't go wrong.
That's a very democratic model.
Very,
totally.
Very so.
Yeah.
Didn't come without a lot of. We had an understanding from the first week or so that what happens in rehearsal is about the music and it's not about personalities. And so we don't want to waste half the rehearsal going, excuse me, but I think perhaps that might be a little flat, you know. It's just say what you have to say and then, you know, Paul Vermeld heard us rehearsing the first year and he went back in the audience. This is a big mistake. They aren't going to last 6 weeks, he said, you know, and here we are 49 years. But it's just because once rehearsal's over, you leave it behind. That's stays in the room and then you're. Talk about the baseball game or something.
It's time for a cliche. What happens in rehearsal
stays
in rehearsal, right?
Right.
I mean, that exactly. Sounds exactly like what you're saying.
Exactly.
And is that a piece of advice that you would give to younger people who are starting a string quartet? Would you?
Absolutely. But I think even more important than that is to love what you're doing. Because if you do that, the acrimony and the is a minimum.
Yeah.
Your next concert is coming up this Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's at Woodford's Congregational Church in Portland. Tell me about the program.
Well, the program will begin with a Mozart flute quartet, and then Walter Piston flute quintet, for which I will join the quartet. And then the second half will be the third quartet of Brahms. It's a wonderful, phenomenal work.
What makes it phenomenal? Tell us what.
Well, it was written when he was writing his symphony, his first symphony, which most of your listeners will remember is a grand, beautiful, powerful work, beginning in the grandest of sounds. I'll never forget that symphony, how it starts. It's fantastic. And so the musicologists say that while Brahms was working on that he decided to work on a trifle to kind of counterbalance that. And, of course, the players and I think the audience as well will see this is no trifle.
I was going to say, it's hard to think of the word trifle in Brahms. And
yes, exactly.
Unless it was something he was eating, you know. Yeah,
exactly. I know. There you go for musicologists. But anyway, it's a great work. It's a beautiful work. It just has lyricism, especially the second movement is just to die for. It's so gorgeous. And in the third movement, he gives the viola prominence by having the other three instruments muted. And I think that's one reason why violists love this particular work. It gives us a chance to shine.